With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is it hot in here, or is it just me? It is I, of course, once again, Coxie, here for the listener special of the Lost Art of Wrestling.
They're taking over.
They are taking over. Bald Captain All. Yeah, so of course, Coxie's once again joined by the baddest man, the baddest man, the baddest man. He signs, seals, delivers.
Absolutely.
He's not sure. He's not sure if to speculate, defecate, or ejaculate. He is Jimmy the Boy, Billy the Boy, the man of a thousand gimmicks. Just do some random innuendo yourself.
What?
He's a man of a thousand gimmicks. Currently classy as fuck in his tuxedo t-shirt. Yeah, I'm not even going to go and say the one I said before. For whoever listens to this one. But yes, he is the man of a thousand gimmicks. He is everyone's boy and my own. He is Jimmy the Boy Buncle.
How we doing?
I'm on the verge of tears, mate. I'm fucking pissing myself laughing.
Oh,
the things we talk about off the air.
Oh, dear.
But no, we wanted to not have a 6-hour episode with this one. So we've done it as 2 episodes. Referred to come as we soon at some point review Heatwave 98, which is one of our all-time favourites, would you say?
Yeah, it's up there. Probably favourite. Well, yeah, it'd be a favourite ECW show, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of them. I'll have to rewatch it.
As will I, as there's some I want to find that Dudley Boys one.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But, no, yeah. Because we did say that that's what we were going to do, like, a podcast ago.
Yeah, and we still haven't done yet, but it's time gets in the way.
Yeah, well.
And busy lives.
True.
So.
Yeah. I don't know what your excuse is. I've got family shit. I don't know what his excuse is, though.
Other podcasts and...
I got gigs and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but it got me 2 interviews, mate, so fuck you.
Yeah, that is what I do. Totally, yeah.
This is another gimmick of Bunkle. He doesn't actually have gimmicks, he's just really bipolar. slight also schizophrenic.
Wouldn't be overly shocked.
So, yeah, the innovator of... I can't even think of a word, but...
I wouldn't... Well, no. You see? No. I don't really... Well, I'm not really innovative. The innovator of sweet fuck all.
What have you done with your life? I've innovated nothing. we had a lot of requests to do this one, Bunkle.
Yeah, yeah.
People kept saying we have topics we want you to talk about.
Sounds good to me.
It's when we have
I got my piece of paper too.
It's too late. I closed submissions.
I'm not saying that. My piece of paper is blank.
You're demoted to Jimmy the Paperboy. You're not the mailman anymore. You're Jimmy the Paperboy.
That's fine. That's fine. Because what I'll do is I'll just throw newspapers at them until like they fall over. I slip on one, and then like I'll put my bike on top of them and pin them.
What the fuck?
Hell yeah. Bikes and shit, folks.
Bikes and shit. He got a bicycle! We're going to turn... This is where you turn into Sign Guy Bunkle.
Sign Guy.
You just started writing stuff on your paper.
No. I've got my paper in preparation for some of the topics, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay. Well, the first one... I've always liked to start with controversy, because controversy creates cash, apparently. Except on this award-winning podcast that's never won an award.
Yes.
Danny writes in...
Crayon, motherfuckers.
Oh, dear. Who books this shit?
James the Crayola Man Bunkle.
Oh, waxy to the end.
Yes.
The ever infamous tweet that Jeremy the Rash Borash sent out many, many moons ago to tweet, which was, I can't remember the actual tweet originally sent, but it was something along the lines of, why does TNA suck so much or something? To which he responded, I hope your whole family dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I have reminded him of several times when I've tweeted him myself. And he's still yet to block me.
Well, he should have been held more accountable for his actions and definitely should have been fired. From his point of view, TNA is his family, as he puts it, and that's why he said it. I did actually have the opportunity to interview Jeremy Borash. I responded to a Facebook message where basically a guy had booked an interview with Jeremy Borash and couldn't do it for his wrestling website.
Why have you never told me this before?
It's a long time ago. And
maybe you did tell me that.
I might have done. I just emailed him out of the blue and said, oh, I'll interview him, but I've got some serious questions I want to ask him.
And he's like, well, why?
I need to read the questions first. I was like, fine. So I wrote down the questions that I only wrote 10 questions, and it was usual, you know, how do you like being in the UK, do you want to say to UK fans, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was, how do you feel about that tweet that you sent out? Where you said that you wish somebody's family had died. Which is probably why I didn't get a chance to do the interview. because... As I said to the guy who was I was messaging, I felt as though that people deserved an answer and he needed to be held accountable for those actions, because it's not right, it's not on.
No.
You are in the public eye, and for, though you're probably not, but for whatever reason, you may be seen as a role model, as most famous people are. So you should be held accountable for what you said. You could have simply blocked the person.
Yeah.
But instead, you came back with something that was far and away over the top, like, totally, out, you know, unacceptable. I don't know whether he got fined or whether he got suspended.
There's never been any real mention of it.
There hasn't. It's kind of been glossed over.
It was all I remember, seeing the actual screen cap. I think it was like No DQ posted it or something. Like,
yeah.
Jeremy Borash sends out, like, disgusting tweet or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, he might have just got like a slap on the wrist or something.
Yeah.
I think he may have deleted the tweet afterward.
Right.
Like a day after, because everyone's sort of saying that's rather a harsh thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. It's out of order.
So.
Well, I say, I mean.
It's like, but the Rash's last words be TNA forever! Like.
Probably. You'll probably die when TNA does. I'm not trying to be mean there and, like, you know, completely...
pot kettle.
Like. Yeah, yeah, I'm not trying to do that, but what I'm trying to say is, like, TNA seems to have, like, 1,000 lives. Everybody thinks it's gone and it's back.
Yeah.
Jeremy Borash has never done anything outside of TNA and always is with TNA, so...
That's where you're wrong.
What?
He did produce and, I think, direct the Forever Hardcore documentary. Which before I think he joined TNA. It may have been around after. Well, it's around 2005 I think that came out. So
right. Well, fine. He's never done anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's good enough to get to, you know, to make it in WWE or anything like that. I don't ever see them picking him up. And I don't think that indie promotions will pick him up because I guarantee that he'll want more money than they'll pay him for a ring announcer.
The thing with, like, indie promotion, I think, would bring him in as they consider him a name. Whereas if I was a promoter, and it's like, do you want to bring Borash in? I'd sort of instantly go, well, there was a time he sent out that tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would sort of instantly put me off, but it's like a lot of companies nowadays, they have a social media policy in place.
Yeah.
They will even Facebook and Twitter stalk you to find out what sort of stuff you post, to see what kind of person you are,
yeah.
I found out.
Yeah, they do.
Which is why
I never post.
This is true. That's why I've not seen many reviews of yours as well.
Yeah.
Bunkers, Rants, Reviews and Opinions.
Yeah. That had to stop. But
you will get that job in TNA, damn it. but no, it's like if I was a potential employer and I sort of, if I was like Vinnie Mac or something, I would possibly get my assistant over to look back through the archives and see what sort of stuff he's posted.
Yeah.
And then just sort of present it to him. And so why do you want the job? Bearing in mind that you did once say this.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not even just going to be like, I know the Facebook stalking and you look for your Twitter, but you can guarantee that they'll just do a Google search of you.
Yeah.
Because something like that might not appear on your Twitter because you deleted it, but it'll appear in a Google search because somebody's picked it up and because somebody's taken a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
So it does the rounds. Mm. Yeah. Which is why Jeremy Borash probably not going to get hired when TNA no longer exists.
Well, it's not so much that, but even then, like, for me, they have, like, Moreover and Aloe, who is fucking gold.
Oh, yeah. He is brilliant. Yeah. Very impressive. Considering, I mean, I'm guessing he had done wrestling before. I know he'd done Pride and...
He's done Pride. MMA. I think he did a bit of New Japan for, like, the English...
Yeah, yeah.
English, like, commentary. Sort of thing. I think he did the commentary for that.
Right.
He may have done other stuff as well, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But I think his main one was, like, he'd done New Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Ranallo's great. And, you know, he's an upgrade over almost everybody who's sat in that chair. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Jim Ross, but Jim Ross had massive ups and massive downs, really, because you could tell when he was pissed off with the company or pissed off with the way somebody was being booked or, you know, or just a talent in general.
Yeah.
So he was very... I think he was almost too involved backstage he is the greatest commentator of all time, but in certain situations he was too involved backstage to be objective. Never liked Jerry Lawler, but obviously it's a bit different. Play by play to colour commentary is very different. Michael Cole, I enjoy heel Michael Cole, but when he was heel Michael Cole, he wasn't play by play. He was colour commentator again. So yeah, in terms of play-by-play commentators, he's definitely up there.
Yeah.
In, like, a short space of time. But, yeah, wouldn't hire Jeremy Borash. I don't... TNA didn't use him on the main show for a while I was watching TNA. He was always the commentator on, like...
Explosion.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And he did a lot of backstage segments.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like the Todd Grisham of TNA. And, yeah... No... it's just, he's obviously, maybe regrets sending that tweet, I'm guessing he does, but it just gives you an insight into he's probably not a very nice person.
Yeah.
And I bet if you met him, he would be a bit of a dick.
Hmm.
So, and he doesn't really have the... He isn't important enough to act like that,
yeah.
Really. It's like I can understand when somebody like Bubba Ray Dudley, who's played a heel pretty much his whole career, playing a heel in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and playing up to it because that's the character that he's trying to put across. Mm. Yeah, but the rash now.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Apologise. It was Zoom Punk. Apologise.
Yeah. He has no credibility, but he has no... I wouldn't consider him a draw.
No.
Like, I wouldn't.
No. I say, I wouldn't bring him into my indie promotion.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Wouldn't be worth what I'd have to pay him.
Mm.
Just wouldn't. Maybe if I could hit him in the head with a chair unprotected.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Masato Tanaka style.
Yeah.
Yeah, following from that, he asks, memories of WWF and WCW airing on TV in the UK.
Right. WCW, my exposure was limited in terms of what I watched over it while it was, you know, shown over here in the UK. I watched a few episodes of Thunder, if I'm honest, because I was into watched WWE a lot, because it was on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Sky One, SmackDown, 2 hours. Yes, that's my wrestling. That's what I'm watching. And then you get Live Wire after it, which showed you what happened on Raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get 3 hours of wrestling as a kid. That's what I get each week. And then on Sunday there'll be another 2 hours.
Yeah.
A recap show of SmackDown and a recap show of Raw. But I've already watched Live Wire, so I've seen my recap episode of Raw, so I don't need to watch that again. And I watched SmackDown, so I don't need to watch the second one. Sometimes I would anyway.
It was Sunday with Shotgun and Superstars, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Which was, you'd maybe see that the odd.
You might, you, if I remember correctly, there was always like one extra match,
yeah,
you know, from that show,
yeah, yeah.
You know, which would have been like almost like when they recorded it, they'd do Velocity or whatever it was first, and then they'd do SmackDown,
yeah.
And you get one match, yeah. Maybe two, you know, if you were lucky, and they'd just be squash matches. Because I remember, was it Heat or something I watched, and AJ Styles was on it,
yes, it was
Heat. And he had one match against Jose Rios,
yeah,
and he got beat,
I think so,
because
yeah.
He was like local jobber versus Jose Rios. Who couldn't speak English,
yeah.
And so he jobbed, and now look at him. But say, that's my exposure was just WWE, and like sitting down watching it, and usually getting like the odd passing comment from my dad, you know, ripping it. Oh, it's fake, you know, it's fake, you know. Yes, yes, I am aware, but I still enjoy it. Leave me alone. I'm like 12. Yeah. You know, or like to be fair though, like my parents did sometimes sit down and watch it, and like though obviously they knew it's fake, they bought into the kayfabe, just, you know, so that because obviously I was interested in it,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it's you try and encourage children in their interests.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's my memory of it. Waking up on a Saturday morning, running down the stairs, SmackDown's on, boom, watching LiveWire after it, so I know what's happened throughout the week. And like SmackDown was usually relatively good because you had all the same stars that were on Raw on SmackDown, and they followed on, you know. Yeah. Storylines weren't too convoluted, there wasn't, you know, and okay, most of your matches weren't brilliant, but it was entertaining.
Mm.
And obviously you're looking out for The Rock, really. The Rock, Austin, Triple H.
Yeah.
It's just the one thing that I always remember from SmackDown was at the end of the show, invariably Triple H was always standing over the babyface because he beat him down after his match,
yeah.
Or whatever. You know, and that's pretty much how every show ended, from what I remember. But I say WCW didn't really get that much exposure to it until later on when it was winding down.
Yeah.
But that's just because of the time that it was on, because... I know you said that that's how you got into wrestling, but it was on late nights.
Hmm.
And, well, late nights, it was my parents' TV, not my TV.
Yeah.
So, give and take.
Yeah. The thing was, I remember it used to be on, started off on TNT, and then it got the rights, they sold the rights off to Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
who started showing at around like 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday night, sometimes a Wednesday. And then the TNT also started showing Thunder, but again, it'd sometimes be on at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Bravo showed a few episodes of Thunder, but it was more Nitro became priority, then Nitro sort of disappeared. And then you'd get WCW Worldwide on Channel 5.
You
know, like Friday evenings with the big, like,
I used to catch a few, caught a few of those actually on Channel 5.
It's like chair shot, it's like pow! And it's, oh god.
That was bad. I remember getting up really early in the morning to watch pay per views that were on Channel 4.
I taped the Royal Rumble, which we covered on the last episode.
Yeah.
And I meant to get up for Backlash, because I think I'd off school.
Yeah.
And I set my alarm, heard my alarm go off, woke up, turned it off, and just went, going back to bed. And because from the sound of things, I didn't miss much.
Yeah.
So
I remember getting up, like, proper late at night, and oddly enough, me and my sister, getting up and watching Heat, followed by the pay-per-view, and actually staying up and watching it on, like, a Sunday night. Obviously, only if I was off school the next day. And then when we got Sky, like, properly, like, we got, like, and I realised it was on Sky Sports as well. I remember sitting and watching WrestleMania 17 live, which, as you probably know from previous podcasts...
What? Utter bastard.
As we know from previous podcasts, was my favourite pay-per-view of all time. And I think my mum stayed up and watched that as well, oddly, while I watched it. Because I remember panicking about the swear words.
Mum just instantly turned it on and go to bed.
Well, no, I knew she wouldn't do that, but I was just kind of like, you are aware I will not repeat these words at this moment in time. But no, it was good. Obviously, I saw my favourite pay-per-view, and you know, that's kind of how I got into wrestling was, you know, Saturday SmackDown.
Really. Well, I remember Heat on Channel 4 as well, like Sunday afternoons at like sometimes 3-4 o'clock, and I always remember there's, you'd always have like Crash Holly on it for some reason. And you'd have like the same ones like Crash Holly, S.A. Rios and Saturn, and not like the regular the regular heaters.
Every now and again you get like a tag team match on there, and it'd be like, I can't remember who'd be on it, just some like low level tag team, like the Acolytes or something like that, because they were never in like the, you know, they're never in the main tag team push at the time, and they just squash some jobbers, and you'd feel really bad because one of them had to take a Dominator, and you'd be like, oh, you feel sore now.
Especially who is like, yeah, go and teach him a lesson.
You
will feel it. But no, yeah, I remember a few, like the always Crash Holly for some reason on Heat, and
that's what it was for. Though, you know, for a low level match that you could put across.
Yeah, I remember the British Bulldog on being on an episode of Heat as well at one point.
Yeah, but
he took on Crash Holly.
He only lasted like 2 matches before his back came out again.
True. That on the drugs.
Where's my title shot? Where's my title shot? We never get a title shot. Shut up.
Oh dear.
Quiet you.
Then Danny also asks, favourite wrestling t-shirt?
Ooh. Now, is his favourite wrestling t-shirt in terms of look or because of a situation?
My situation.
Okay, because if we go based on situation, my favourite wrestling t-shirt I bought at the very first SmackDown event we went to watch.
Right.
So it was you, me and Danny Bolton
went
to Manchester for my birthday to watch SmackDown.
Yes.
And I had on a Kurt Angle t-shirt with the American flag on it, and I think it said like, you tapped out on the back or something like that.
Tap or snap.
That was it. Tap or snap. Yeah. And I remember being stood there, and I think he was having a match with Eddie Guerrero, or Eddie Guerrero came out anyway. and he stood on the turnbuckle, pointed directly at us, looked at his shirt, kind of like, you know, gave it the up and down with the arms, like, and I was like, oh my God, I have to buy one now. Because he's literally pointed at me specifically to point at, why are you wearing a Kurt Angle shirt? Get an Eddie Guerrero shirt.
Yeah, I remember.
And I went and bought an Eddie Guerrero shirt. Because as soon as the match finished, pay-per-view finished, right, I'm getting one. And went and got an Eddie Guerrero shirt, and I still have that shirt. I still have both of those shirts. So I think...
I don't actually remember, he came out with the mini, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And he sort of, I remember, he looked at you two, and he looked sort of gutted that you both had on Kurt Angle shirts, and just pulled his, and was like, look at mine!
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like... And obviously, with Eddie being who he was and whatnot, like that's a moment I'll never forget. Which is why I probably shouldn't. That Kurt Angle shirt is my favourite shirt of all time that I own. Yeah. Because if I hadn't bought that shirt, I would never have got that reaction. And one of the greatest wrestlers who ever lived would never have reacted to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And though, okay, I've never met him, I don't know him or anything like that, I never got t-shirts signed or anything, that moment to a kid is, like, world-changing, almost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I say, in terms of situation, that's my favourite shirt. It's not my favourite shirt to wear or look at or anything like that. It's a nice shirt, don't get me wrong, it's a bit tired nowadays. Because that was... 12 maybe more than 12 years ago?
No, it was 2004.
Is it 2004?
Yeah.
So, 12 years ago. So, now...
It was the first time to tape television in the UK.
Yeah. But, so, that's my favourite shirt in terms of, you know, what it means to me. I still have both. My favourite shirt, actually, of all time... you see, I like the Smoking Skull shirt.
Yeah.
Steve Austin Smoking Skull shirt, which I do have. But, you know, and obviously, again, that gained a bit more infamy when CM Punk wore it for the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It might be that. Yeah. Because there are some, like, the most recent events I've been to, I've been and I looked at the shirts and I've just thought, they're all right. They've been a bit naff. They're all like, they've gone back to the thing where they always put, like, the guy's name on the shirt.
Yeah.
Which is something that, other than with Steve Austin, where it had Austin 316 on it. I've never really wanted somebody's name on my shirt. I don't want my shirt just to stand there and say Dolph Ziggler on it. Yeah. I'm like, well, no. It's like I don't want somebody's face on my shirt. Why do I want a picture of you on my shirt?
Yeah.
Type of thing. I quite liked... I know what my favourite shirt is. My favourite shirt is the Miz shirt that said, "Hello, I'm awesome," on it, in like a name tag.
I thought you were going to say the Damien Sandow one.
Oh.
This is like, I greater.
Than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one too. I nearly bought that once. I can't remember what I bought instead. What did I buy instead?
I think it's because they didn't have that on sale.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. It wasn't on sale, so I didn't buy it.
There was also the Dolph Ziggler one, which says, "Stealing the show and your girlfriend."
Yeah.
And I was like, I want that one.
Well, I remember him having one that said, "It's not showing off." And I'm like, if you can back it up.
Yeah.
I like that one as well, because it was pink and blue. And it was like, no one would wear that, because it's like so loud. I was like, I would wear that, because I am loud. Or I can be. And there was another one the Miz used to have, and it had like a chicken and a magnet.
Yeah.
It was like, chick magnet. Mint. That's a great shirt. I love stuff like that. But, no, there are some really, really good wrestling shirts. Mm. You know, like I say, nowadays, they're kind of... They're not as good as they used to be, just because they're not... It's not like funny phrases or anything like that. It's literally like a person's name or their initials.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not really what I want.
Mm.
You know, I don't want my shirt to say Alberto Del Rio on it. Yeah. It's like, no. No, why? What about you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the shirts I've owned now over the years. this might take a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've owned way more shirts than me. The indie shirts count.
Yeah.
Oh, I like my Dave Rain one.
which one is your Dave Rain one? Because he's done a few.
The red one. So I've got the red one with the, you know, his symbol on the front of it with the two girls.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it says on the back.
Is it hashtag boom or something?
Yeah, hashtag boom on the back. Because I've also got the yellow one that says, it's a hashtag cruiser champ on the back of it or something like that. Yeah. Which is like a gay innuendo. I didn't realise when I bought it. Still have it though. I just need to go dig it out.
Oh dear.
I need to dig both of them out.
See, I was, because I've always been a fan of like Mick Foley and Catches Jack, I wanted the Wanted.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Wanted Dead shirt. I wanted that for years.
Yeah.
And it was always that sort of thing. It's like you could buy it and it was like, oh, it's £25. It's like, not 25 quid.
Yeah, not for a t-shirt.
I've got the opportunity to buy a Wanted Mick Foley shirt.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the same, but it's like, it's still cool. I've always liked there was the RVD one I got years ago. I think it was like when we went to watch Raw.
Yeah.
In 2006, 2007.
Right. Yeah.
Again at Manchester, and it was the big like red dragon.
Right,
On the back, you had like massive signature of like Rob Van Dam on the back.
Yeah, yeah. I think you do have that shirt.
I still got it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very tattered nowadays.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with these things. Like I say, those two shirts that I got from that show back in 2004, my Kurt Angle one and my Eddie Guerrero one, which is the Tabasco one.
Yeah.
Man, they're tired now. They're proper knackered now, but I refuse to get rid of them.
I've always loved about wrestling t-shirts is you get such longevity out of them.
Yeah.
Like, they last so fucking long.
Yeah. Well, like, if I put them on hangers all the time and stuff like that, they'd probably still be... And I wore them now, you'd still recognise it as what it was.
Yeah.
Another wrestling fan would still recognise the shirt that you're wearing. And I think that's something that, as well, they don't get dated.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, like, you go out nowadays and, like, you just buy any random t-shirt that isn't playing.
Yeah.
Like, my wife buys me lots and lots of Marvel t-shirts because I like, you know, I like those movies and, you know, I like the characters and whatnot. But in 5 years, they will be really out of date and they'll people will be like, why are you wearing that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas a wrestling shirt, if people recognised it, they'd still know what it is.
Because I got my WrestleMania 32 one on now.
Yeah.
And it's just the feel of it. It's always been high quality.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like it lasts several washes around fading and tattering and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably suppose it's why you pay the money you do for them. I got this quite cheap, so.
I keep saying to the wife that I want to get on eBay and try and pick up some like the old school shirts that I remember from back in the day, and I know they'll be expensive. But they're like, I'm sure there are some, like, they might not be super old stuff, like, you know, they might be from, like, I don't know, like that Dolph Ziggler shirt that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think a shirt like that, I don't think you're going to be paying really high prices for it. I think you're going to be paying $10, $15 for it, or, you know, 10, 15 quid for it, which is less than I would have paid for it brand new, but it's the shirt that I want, and they don't make them anymore, so why wouldn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's certain things like that that I'd, you know, I think, I'll probably go out and invest in something like that.
Mm.
You know, because, again, like you say, it's going to last a long time, and, you know, I'm always going to enjoy wrestling.
I just remember there was my all-time favourite shirt was the one I had in year seven.
Man.
If you remember, it was the Austin one.
I think I do, yeah.
It had the only thing I remember is it had that the flag there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lone Star flag, and it had that the big snake on the back.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
Well, rattlesnake.
Yeah, I do remember it, yeah.
Because I had someone ask, where'd you get that shirt from? America. I'm not going to let America for a shirt. Fucking don't then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, when I got that Austin 316 shirt, you know, the one that everybody knows with just Austin 316 on the front and the Smoking Skull on the back, got it from a charity shop in Saturn Square. Yeah. That is a find and a half. I paid £3.50 for that shirt.
Nice.
I was like, I got that and an Eddie Guerrero WrestleMania one from it. It doesn't have, I think it just has, I think it just says Eddie Guerrero or, like the, or Lie, Cheat and Steal in like, you know, like the top left-hand corner on the front. And on the back, it's like the GTA video game, but it's Eddie Guerrero. It's mint. And I was like, I'm paying like £6 for these two shirts.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is like an amazing find. Mm. I need to get back in those charity shops, actually. Get back in the charity shops, see if I can find wrestling shirts.
David finds a lot of wrestling DVDs in charity shops.
Right, right. So. Well, I might say, definitely worth a look. But yeah, that's what I remember about t-shirts.
Yeah. So there you have it. What are your favourite wrestling t-shirts? Let us know.
Definitely.
In the comments. Danny Olden also asks, The Worm, is it the most effective finisher in the biz?
I don't suppose, well, I don't know whether the Bulldog's more effective than the Worm was, because they tend to stay down for longer after the Bulldog while they did the Worm than they did after the Worm.
This is true.
So maybe the Bulldog's the most effective finisher of all time.
Two-handed Bulldog.
Two-handed Bulldog, yes.
I do remember actually seeing him, the, he did
the Worm.
The Worm. Well, he did the Bulldog, then did the Worm. I actually got the pin from it. But then nice. I remember quite a few times though, he did the Bulldog, did the Worm, and he either hit it or they rolled out of the ring before he could hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, rolled out of the ring while he was doing the I did flail my arms and everything, folks.
He just did that.
No. But I wouldn't say it was the most effective finisher of all time, but I will say it was one of the most entertaining finishers of all time because it was something completely unique.
Yeah.
In terms of tag team finishers, might be up there. Might be up there, do the Worm into the Grandmaster Sexy Leg Drop.
I can't remember happening.
I seem to remember happening once. Too Cool were good anyway.
They play off the Reds on Coke, mate.
I wouldn't be shocked. Anyway, Brian Christopher doesn't do coke, he does meth. Meth. There's a difference.
The champ.
Powder. Powder versus crystalline.
Alright, yeah, using your chemistry degree now on this podcast. That's not even chemistry related.
Saying it helps, folks. But, yeah.
Jimmy Walter White Bunkle.
Not quite yet. But no, let's say I enjoyed the Worm for what it was. Most effective finisher of all time? No. Well, unfortunately, probably the most effective finisher of all time, you'll have to say, is the Pedigree.
Well, the Pedigree looks devastating, though.
Yeah, it does, but I still wouldn't say it's the most... I wouldn't want it to be the most effective finisher of all time, but it was that effective that you actually couldn't kick out of it on a game. They coded the game so you were unable to kick out of that move.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I remember this argument coming up one time, though. It was like... I think it's like for Hulk Hogan. It was like, oh, he's the biggest name in, like, biggest name in wrestling in the world. Everyone knows him. And his finisher is a leg drop.
Yeah, the immortal leg drop. Can't kick out the immortal leg drop. It's just not happening.
Yeah. It's like the argument was sort of like, for a guy his size, he's doing a leg drop.
Yeah. Like, well, it's again, they probably stay down longer for the big boot than they do from the leg.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them that you've got, finishes like that have a certain setup into them. So it's almost like part, that first move is part of the finisher. Mm. The unique, yes, I don't like the immortal leg drop because that isn't really unique and it is just a leg drop. But back in those days, when that was seen as like an effective move, it made sense because people had like the DDT was innovative.
Yeah.
Every fucker does a DDT now.
Yeah.
It's a normal move. Yeah. The spinebuster was Arn Anderson's finishing maneuver. Everybody does a spinebuster. The Rock does a spinebuster just to get into his finishing move.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's about the time when it was created and when it was fought up. So the Immortal Leg Drop now looks stupid. Yeah, and it's like, why would anyone stay down for that? That's a leg drop.
Yeah.
John Cena does a leg drop. And the people get straight back up. Why is it effective? But back in the day, 30 years ago, it's probably a bit different.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a sleeper was a finisher. Yeah. Nowadays, everybody's a sleeper hold.
Yeah. When it's sort of that, the sleeper became a rest hold, whereas it.
Yeah.
People that use it as a finisher.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, Beefcake used it. Million Dollar Man used it.
Cobra Clutch.
Same shit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's.
Well, Beefcake, Piper.
Oh, yeah, fuck, I forgot Piper. It's probably because I hate Piper. What? We discussed it on the podcast previously.
You did.
I don't like Roddy Piper, I don't.
You don't like Edge either, but.
No, I don't like Edge. I don't.
Yeah, it's like you never see the sleeper used nowadays. Like,
no.
As a finisher. Well, Dolph used it for a bit briefly, but never really worked.
Well, because he wasn't really using it as a finisher, was he? He was still doing the zigzag.
He was trying to.
He was trying to, but yeah, like you say, it didn't really work.
Then Paul asks, but we'll do this a two-parter.
Okay.
It's sort of it. So, Paul asks, so you are the promoter of a UK indie company,
right?
You need your first 10 roster picks. So, who on your paper in front of you would you write down? That you want to
so,
book.
Of anyone in the world,
no, they have to be Brits.
Have to be British. Can well, they? Can they still? Can they be working outside the UK?
I sort of said Brits or imports too, but I'm sort of saying you'd probably have to be a free agent. Like they couldn't. You couldn't say.
So right, you couldn't. So anybody who works for WWE is out of the question.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So you couldn't say right. I want Noam Dar.
Yeah.
Because he's signed.
Yeah.
But if you have the choice to bring in, you have 10 people to choose from.
So, Lionheart would be my first choice.
Okay.
Probably be my champion to start out with, probably for quite some time as well. Having seen him live, I think he's very, very good on the mic. I think he is, especially when he's allowed to be a little bit freelance with it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he insulted some girl at one of the PCW shows, basically called her inbred, and it was brilliant though, and it was epically good. But there was all of that was a great promo. When he came back after his neck injury, because he was injured by AJ Styles of all people, again, it was a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
Came out really good. Bought into it, he wasn't going to wrestle again, blah blah blah, and then he was wrestling again. It was like, wah. Yeah, great. So, Lionheart's in there. Dave Rain.
Okay.
I'm writing these down as I'm doing it, so I know how many I've got. So, Dave Rain, number two, probably would be my number two guy in my company, actually, because I've seen just his name get over. His name got him over.
Yeah.
And okay, though, doesn't have the stereotypical look of a great wrestler, but it's kind of my style of humour, really up my street, and I think he's talented enough in ring to pull it off. So yeah, I've definitely got to put him in there.
Okay.
Now this is where it's so if I leave them to stand out as like main event, so if we move down, so if I skip number three, four, you're talking big guy, so because every company needs a big man,
right?
Yeah, it's just if I'm building a roster,
you said before, yeah.
Yeah, every company kind of needs a big man, and so. I'm kind of stuck between two here because my knowledge of wrestling in the UK or indie wrestling in the UK is is very limited to PCW and Future Shock, because that's the two shows I've been to see live. I've seen a little bit of UPW that was on TV, on my TV at one point.
There was a show
that used to be on...
Oh, UKW.
UKW, that's it. I've seen a bit of that. So, big man. I'm stuck here with... I like Cyanide.
You can look stateside.
They can't be signed to WWE, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they
can't be signed to TNA either, I'm guessing.
They have to be able to work the independence.
They have to be able to work independence?
Yeah, indie dates, independent companies.
So my number three...
TNA, I believe they can, but TNA gets priority over their dates.
Right, okay.
So if you had someone in mind, you could bring in, maybe.
So I want Cody Rhodes then as my number three.
Okay.
So... because I think Cody Rhodes is extremely talented and was very misused by the WWE. Mm-hmm. Though I did love the gimmick with the face mask, even though he looked completely normal.
And he
paper bagging people was brilliant. So if I'm still thinking big man, I can bring somebody over from United States.
You have to think who... what big man have you seen though, right, recently from the indies?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to come up with. That's a hard one. Because, I do like Cyanide as a big man, and he is a massive dude, but he's really athletic for somebody that big. Like Dave Mastiff, that's kind of like my British contingent almost, in terms of like big guys. I don't like Abyss. His character's been ruined and shot as shit. Does Hernandez count as a big guy?
Yeah, I suppose so. He's 6'7".
I always liked Hernandez, but I don't know whether he's a bit of a shit worker. Supermex. Don't want Bobby Lashley. I like what they're doing with him in TNA, or what they were doing with him, but it's not... it's not for me, it doesn't work right. Chris Masters. Again. Is he good enough? He's had some good matches over here.
Yeah.
I think I'll take a chance now. I'll go for Hernandez, why not?
Is it red?
So, take a chance for Hernandez. Number five, okay. I want EC3. Six. I don't know if he still works.
Who's that?
Christopher Daniels, does he still work?
Yes.
Christopher Daniels.
I found him where he's currently in Ring of Honor.
Oh, right.
Him and Kazarian are still a tag team.
Right, so. Okay. I'll take Christopher Daniels then, for sure. Because that guy's always been a great worker. So I'm on seven. Kurt Angle doesn't work anymore. No, it doesn't.
He's wrestling on Sunday, actually.
Is he?
In Scotland.
Is he?
Yes.
So he still works?
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to put him in there, that's for sure. I didn't realise he still worked.
So far, you've got all of two Brits.
Yeah, but that's because you included the American ones. Originally, I thought it was just Brits.
Well, you're in the UK promoter, so I'm guessing if you're like sort of a flutter.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I'm not going to get all these guys in. You're just not. Especially not all on the same show. I want Valcavius. Because, although I've only ever seen him in two matches. Two? One match? One match.
Some UKW as well.
Yeah, and on TV, that guy's a fucking beast. It's just a shame that he fucking was a dumbass and ruined his shot at WWE. But then again, it's good for my promotion. Definitely don't want Ryback. He can fuck off. Oh shit, I lost my pen.
Do a couple more Brits since you've got
a couple more Brits.
Yeah, since you've got a few.
Well, Xander Cooper.
Okay.
It's because Man of a Thousand Seasons is hilarious. Oof, another Brit guy. This is a tough one. It's a lad kid fight. I think he's usually, every time I've seen him, he's been quite good. Even though I've been using some matches, I wouldn't really have put him in. Don't like Allmark. Ooh. Oh, shit, I'm stuck between three. Bastard. Oh, I tell you what. No, take out Xander Cooper. Right. I want El Ligero.
Right.
My choice of two. I'd go for Jim Powers. Because again, right up my street. Or Rampage Brown. Because he's fucking awesome. Rampage Brown has got to be on it. He's fucking mint. What?
Just the fact you thought you were going to choose Jim Powers over Rampage Brown.
Well, I'm sorry, I think he's hilarious. But there you go, that's kind of what I'd work with. Obviously, I didn't realise that some of these guys in America I could have originally, but I think I'd be looking at...
It was a bit of an open-ended question, because Paul just asked, in the UK promoter, first 10 roster picks.
Yeah.
So, which a lot of, near enough every promotion brings in.
Yeah.
America, Yanks nowadays.
Of course they do, yeah.
Well,
I think the only issue that I'd have with what I've picked is, some of them guys will want a lot of money.
Yes.
And yes, Lionheart, after making my picks, Lionheart still be my champion, but everyone on that list can be involved in that title picture. Is the way I look at it is, okay, you know, like I said, people might think, well, there's such different sizes and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I still think that would work. I think I can make that work as like a 10.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm quite happy with that. Actually, there's a couple I could probably be swayed on. You know, Hernandez, is he going to be? Is he? I don't know if he is as good a worker as I think, because he was. But you know. Again, every time I saw him, I thought, fucking hell, he's built like a brick shit house. Isn't he? Yeah. Jesus. You know? But then again, when I fucking saw Kurt Angle, I thought he was built like a brick fucking shit house. For a guy who's only 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Fuck. The guy's thick.
So first one for me, I'd have to go Mastiff. I'm going to write over it.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be my number one. So my second in mind, then they've gone.
So it's Mastiff your champ?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Rampage second.
Right.
I just had a third then as well. I just thought of a Yank. I can't think who it is now. It's a bastard. I'll go with Jigsaw as well.
Alright.
There's a random hole in your. There we go. Something back in English. Who else? Steak.
I suppose it's Hayabushi count. So it's not technically signed. Fuck. Now I need to make a move with someone.
Too late, you've already fought on the boy promotions, so fuck you.
Fair enough.
Bunkle's boy promotions. So who's my boy tonight?
To be fair, other than Kurt Angle, they could all be boys. EC3 couldn't be a boy. It's called TNA Town.
Who else? Small amount of peas. Steak. Is it what? I'm trying to think of what was like impressed me. I'll bring in Colt Cabana.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Comedy gimmick, innit? So.
Yeah, I've only seen him that one time and I wasn't that, you know, I wasn't blown away by how much I bet he got paid.
I'm trying to think of what's in Chicago now as well. That isn't Hermit Crab.
Oh dear.
Oh, that was one. I'll bring in Drew Gulak.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, he recently got offered a contract.
He did. Did he?
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Tim Thatcher, then.
Okay.
And, how many is that? 2, 4, 5. Joe Coffey.
Oh, he's your big man.
Well, I've got.
Well, yeah, you've got Massive and Rampage, but he's. He, yeah, I remember watching him and he was relatively good. So I don't think I've seen as much of him as you have.
Mm.
I think I've only seen one match, actually.
I'd have to bring you Legs, because just because Legs works everywhere.
Because he's the only Mexican from Birmingham.
Leeds.
Well, the same. What?
Who was the other one? I just thought of someone and I can't think who it was. Oh, Jimmy Havoc. What is that? 2, 4, 6, 8. Two more. God damn it. So I think he freelance Shanks now. I'm completely drawing blank. Sebastian put myself on the spot. I'll go with Cody Rhodes, definitely.
Cody Rhodes is seriously underrated.
Title picture longer.
And one more. So you have loads in mind and I have none.
I still have more. That's the problem. I could never settle.
I'm trying to think of all the names I've seen in like Piece of Duo over the time and I can't think of all of them. Or like the ones I'm thinking of. They've signed. No, I'm drawing a blank.
Drawing a blank?
Mm. Oh, fuck it. We'll go with Grado, because he's the first one that came to mind.
I was about to say, what about Grado?
Yeah, that's from my 10.
Oh, I like it.
But then, so you've got your 10 now, Uncle.
Yeah.
It's the next part of the question that Danny asked. So you're the only real company,
yeah.
But you must now hire a your head of creative. But you have a choice of Kevin Nash, Vince Russo, because I swear to God, and bro, I swear to God, bro, or Eric Bischoff. So which one do you choose?
It's like a pick your poison. So. Russo's a no.
Okay.
Straight away, no. Because I don't believe him. I don't believe in what he said. He said, I did this, I did that, I created Steve Austin, blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't. I don't think he did any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he failed at WCW.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do the stuff that he told this WCW he did, I don't think he did it.
Hmm.
See, ideally, I'd want Chris Kresge, but unfortunately, I can't have him. If I pick Nash, he's just going to bury the little guys. That's what Nash does. But most of my roster is little guys. Or smaller guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want fucking Bischoff, because he's Bischoff.
But you'll have to pick one of them three. I'm not available, I'm working for another company, so you can't have me.
I can't have Russo, I can't. He's a liar and a cheat.
Okay.
I don't want Bischoff because I don't think Bischoff actually knows what draws. I think he just, like, it's all like shock value. Or attempt, like, kind of like what Russo says he does.
Right.
But it's like, I'm going to put myself in a match because I can do karate and, you know, I don't think it was Russo that came up with that.
Well, let's say you got to sign off on it, so they go to see, they're the head of creative, but they, you have to sign off on stuff.
Probably Nash.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever think, if I remember correctly, I know he's been a booker.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever actually been head of creative.
That
I can think of. At least not for...
Not for another company besides the WCW.
Yeah.
When he was, like, buried in everyone and...
Yeah. But he's not... He's commentary. Not. Yeah. I don't mind him putting himself on commentary, but I'm not going to have... I'm not going to let him wrestle, so he's never going to be able to bury anybody because I'm not going to let him wrestle anyone.
Yeah.
And I think that, okay, he might not be a great booker, but I can hire a great booker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he has to report to me for everything, then I can kind of control what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he, as long as he, I think Russo would not listen. And would lie and say that, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, and then do something completely different that he wanted to do and put the belt on himself. And I think Bischoff is he's very good at marketing.
Yeah.
But I don't think he actually is very good at with wrestling.
Mm.
I don't think his wrestling knowledge is good enough. So, no, that would be why I'd choose Kevin Nash.
Nash.
What about you? Of yours?
Well, see, I was thinking about it for a while the other day when I was sort of in between watching Heatwave and packing and doing interview prep work and whatever else.
Yeah.
I had to do my million and one things to do.
Yeah.
Covering arm bars and stuff. yeah, so I wouldn't go for Russo. Similar cause I don't. It's like he was okay during the Attitude Era, but it's like when you're doing like. Well, we can have a Viagra on a pole match. It's like,
yeah.
When you become famous for being well known for being everything on a pole match.
Yeah, yeah.
And shit like that. It's
stuff for you.
Yeah. Nash, again, like, the one bit of Nitro that one stands out for me was when he put himself, I think, in a gauntlet. And there's like,
he pins Chris Candido without actually pinning him.
Yeah. He powerbombs Candido. The ref counts to three. So then he powerbombs someone else, then decides to stick his foot on the guy, and yeah. The ref counts the pins. Like, what?
Yeah.
Again, Bischoff, it's like he was president of WCW and stuff, and I'd probably have to say to him before, look, you're not, I'll bring you in, but you're not having an on-air role.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you are not...
Yeah.
Or you will have an on-air role, but you are not having a performing role.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing. Like, you are literally here to be a mouthpiece and be head of creative. You are not in a wrestling capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing. So, yeah, I'd probably go Bischoff.
Yeah.
But if it was a case of, like, well, you need to bring in Hogan, you need to bring in Beefcake, you need to bring in... Duggan, it'd be like, right, fuck right off.
Yeah,
I'll bring Billy the Boy in.
Yeah, absolutely. If Nash was like that, like, oh, you've got to bring in Scott Hall and you've got to, you know, do this, that and the other, I'd be like, knock it out.
Yeah.
It's you know, they have no say in any of that. Their say is literally, oh, well, I think we can do, you know, I think this is a set of matches that we should do.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I'll go, right, yeah, but this is who I want to go over. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then have, like, a really good booker underneath him. Because
mm.
I think the way I'd...
Hint, hint.
No, like,
I couldn't book to save my life, mate.
No, 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 but I mean, the way I'd be looking to set my company up, at least because of the picks that I've made.
Yeah.
I got some bigger guys there, but they all can work. So that's what I'd kind of want to build it on, is on the body of work.
Yeah.
So almost like WWE nowadays, it's about the work, you know, more so than, you know, the flashy characters and stuff. I've got a bit of flash,
yeah,
but I've not got, you know, I want really, really good matches all the time. I don't want any squashes.
Yeah.
Really. Which, again, might be why, as I was saying, Hernandez might not be the greatest choice for my big man, because I think he'd be very good in squash matches.
Yeah.
But is he technically good enough to do the rest of it?
Mm. Little bastard.
I don't like the cat. That's why I don't pay any attention.
I don't like cats in general, but...
Yeah.
This one hasn't clawed at me or anything yet, so...
Until then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get down. Sorry. You'll have to cut that.
Oh, I could just leave it in and be really lazy.
Yeah.
We'll have to sort of quick fire these last three because we're sort of running out of time a bit.
We'll save them.
Oh, no. Well, I'm not... You can answer one of them straight away because I know what your answer is.
Yeah.
Greatest chip wrestler never to be world champ in WWE or TNA.
Greatest wrestler never to be world champ in WWE or TNA.
And I'll be surprised if your answer is any different to what I'm currently thinking.
is it just anyone, or is it talent, or based on what I want?
Well, who's the greatest wrestler never to be world champ, in your opinion, in WWE or TNA?
Do they have to have been in WWE or TNA?
I'm guessing so.
So they have to have been in one of the two?
I'm guessing so.
Ellsworth?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
No, because then he can't be my boy.
Yeah, but he's never been world champ, so he's a boy still.
Yeah, yeah, but if he is a world champ, he can't be my boy.
The greatest wrestler never to be world champ.
All right, okay. Fair enough.
So.
Okay, Ellsworth.
I think it was like never to have been world champ sort of thing. So
fair enough. So does that mean like retired?
No, like even someone now who's like, you could be like a career mid-carder, but they should have been a main eventer at some point and won the belt. I'm sticking with Ellsworth.
My boy. You're stick by my boy. What about you?
Nice world champ.
There's actually talented people I could have picked.
There is. Even though I've never been like really a fan of his work as such, especially later on in his career, please Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very good wrestler. Oh. Very talented.
But it's like sort of when your gimmick is you're the gold standard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you have your finisher is the like default pay dirt.
Yeah.
And you have Shelton's mama.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll go with Shelton Benjamin.
Fair enough.
And worst match we have ever seen after the Attitude Era, and why?
Worst match I've ever seen after the Attitude Era?
Yeah.
Right. There's a choice of two.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels and God versus Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, no, there's a choice of three. There's a choice of three.
Okay.
So there's that one.
Yep.
Vince McMahon versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania.
Oh dear.
Cause fuck you.
Yeah.
And then, well, I suppose I can't really call it that. Yeah. Every single gimmick match the Big Show's been in. Like the Punjabi Prison, prison match.
Sumo.
The sumo match. The match with Mayweather.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Big Show. Fuck you.
See, out of those you've said, I'd probably have to go with the Bret Hart, Vince McMahon.
That match was fucking awful.
Yeah. But then to go outside the realm of WWE, I'd also say Hogan's return match in TNA.
Well, yeah, that's got to be up there. Any Hogan match after the fucking Attitude Era, because the man's crippled.
And sandbag the chokeslam.
Yeah. No, one match that was really, really bad, but I really enjoyed, was the Shawn Michaels overselling. every like Hogan move. That was epic. Lex Luger realms of selling.
Oh! Ow! Ow!
Yes.
Oh dear. And then final question would be James Ellsworth, this generation's Goldberg.
I think in terms of true expectations, yes.
But then they won't give him the Cruiserweight title or light heavyweight title. I'm feeling sorry for him.
No. They won't do anything like that. James Ellsworth is a gimmick that will only go one way, and it will end up with him basically jobbing. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The reason he's my boy is because he's so over, yet has no right to be. Yeah. I wouldn't even say, is he particularly talented? Yeah, for what he's doing, yeah, he is. But I don't know if his in-ring work is great. You know, we've not seen enough of it to know. But, you know, for where he is on the card, for what he's doing, yeah, that's why he's a boy. Mm. Because he has no right to be there. Yet he's making it work.
Yeah. His merch sells are through the roof.
Yeah, he'll be, as long as his merch does well, he'll be around for a long time, because they love people who sell merch, and I bet they don't have to pay him that much.
Probably not. He'll be on that play mid level.
Yeah,
getting downside.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. What do you think?
I'm inclined to agree. It's like I saw that one video of him on the Indies in a tag match where he's like part of like some tag team called like the Sexy Dudes or something. Or so yeah, it's I think he is, but it's like he's selling merch. He's like somehow over. So yeah, it's. I think he is, but it depends how long they're gonna give him. Like, surely he's gonna be in the Rumble. I'm gonna guess they're gonna put him in the Rumble.
Number 30.
And maybe he'll even get a WrestleMania spot. Which
I think he will be as a manager or something daft like that. Unless like they put like the tag belts on him and Ambrose, and like Ambrose just does the whole match.
Yeah.
Type thing. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see it's gonna be interesting to see where they go with it. Because mm-hmm. the WWE, you know, they have a tendency to bail on things really quickly. But if you signed a full-time contract, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Which he reportedly has.
Yes. I'm still awaiting confirmation on that yet. But,
yeah.
So, there we go. So, yeah, I think that's all of our list of topics.
Excellent.
It is. Yeah.
So, send in more.
Yes, please send him more.
Really do enjoy going through that kind of shit. Might even talk more about my roster next week. next month.
Unless we do it sooner.
Yeah.
But yeah, next time we will be covering, doing a pay-per-view, which will be Heatwave 98, ECW Heatwave 98.
Whoop whoop.
With Bunkle's 14 pages of notes.
Yeah, I might condense this, folks, because I could probably talk to you for several hours just on what I've covered. It took me longer to watch more than twice the length of the pay-per-view to review the pay-per-view. That says something.
That's dedication, Holmes.
Damn straight.
How about the power to move you? History of Funko Boy.
I love the fact you're singing a song about a guy that you actually look like.
I could go off on the Jeff Hardy one. And another druggie is what I'll always be.
And that's why he's not allowed in our country.
Because they got high and lost a sing on a PPV.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the Lost Art of Wrestling.
Kayfabe.
Fuck off.
In the crayon.
That'll make sense sooner rather than later.
I'm going to have to create some of it.
You are now.
Yeah.
Bunkle 316.
Yeah, just put that on the back.
Or whatever date.
Bunkle 1506.
Do you want to be the 16?
We'll see.
16-6 or 6-16.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the Lost Art of Wrestling.
Kayfabe!
Fuck you! We are kind of swearing at each other off mic that you can't actually see. I've been Coxie.
I've been the man of 1,000 gimmicks.
Your boy! The blue blood! The baddest man! The baddest man! The baddest man! Sign, sealed, delivered. Bunkle.
Hell yeah. Porky Pig in it.
The Porky Pigger boy. You've been listening. Thank you very much.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.